we jumped
to 61.
In Isaiah to 61.
Yeah.
And in Isaiah 61 is telling about God's redeeming, restoring power for our life. And that's where Joyce gets her, God will give you double for your trouble. And he says he will restore. Then we also went to another place. Where did we go? Joel, yes. In Joel, we talked about where God says, I will restore that which is pommel worm and cocoa worm and all the different things. And God's saying, he once again, God will restore that which Satan has tried to devour as we walk with him and grow together. And once again, tonight, since James isn't here, I want to look at Ephesians. Ephesians, yes. What channel? Ephesians chapter 1. Can anybody tell me where Ephesians was written?
Is this one of the ones he wrote in jail?
From a Roman prison in Ephesus. Because the city of that Ephesians was written in was in Ephesus. And who wrote it?
Paul.
Paul. So anytime I think of Ephesians, I always think of Paul. And so we want to go ahead and start to read it, and let's talk about what Ephesians is trying to get across to us. Somebody want to read?
Number one?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start, I guess. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you.
By the way, what does the word saints mean? That would be a possible. The one that I generally refer to is it means those who are set aside unto the Lord. That so you can put the word set aside. Okay, is a good word for saints. So all of us are supposed to be saints, right? Do we behave like saints?
No.
Well, it's got like a distinction here. It's because to the saints who are in Ephesus. And the faithful in Jesus Christ.
There you go. So there's two criteria.
Yeah.
That go with it. Yes. And so he's writing to basically the church, okay, from Ephesus. Next one.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
What does the word grace mean?
It's a favor.
Favor is a possibility, yeah. For me, when I think of grace...
Something you didn't earn.
What's that?
Something you didn't earn.
Something you didn't earn, yes. However, for me, I say it's a God-given desire and ability to do His will. That's why Paul... You look at Paul's greeting, it's always the grace talks about the grace of God. But the grace of God is a God-given desire and ability to do His will. So it's wonderful when God tells you to do something. He says, I'll not only will I tell you to do it, but I'm going to give you the desire and the ability to perform if we will just be set aside unto Him. So He's saying, okay, you guys, may God's grace be with you. And peace. From where? From our circumstances? Where does it come from?
Up above.
Yes, that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, understand, God will give us peace if we will seek Him and serve Him. He's saying, may God give you peace. That's one.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
So what is a spiritual blessing? What kind of spiritual blessings does God give us?
One, to help out for other people.
Okay. Okay, he can give you an anointing to minister to other people.
Meeting our needs.
Money, possibly, yes. But the spiritual blessings, I think of things such as righteousness. Peace. You realize we are righteous because of what he has done. So righteousness is not from what we do, but because of what he has done. So it is one of the many spiritual blessings God's given us, is righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, whoops, we're back to peace again, and joy. One of the ways that we can know whether God's in something or not is when we seek God, if we have peace or not. And if there's no peace there, the Bible says, let the peace of God lead you. And so, if there's no peace, what do we say? He's not in that, okay? But here, Paul is talking about saying, let the peace of God be with you. So that, be exact, even when they went out on journeys, they said, this is what you were to do. When you went into the house, he said, if you, there was peace in that house, stay in that house. Because peace is an evidence of God's presence. And in our lives, he will give us peace if we will allow him to rule in our lives. So he starts off by saying, may God give you the spiritual gifts. Go ahead, let's go on.
And bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's see. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Okay. What is that saying to you?
This in mind, that he would make this creation,
mm-hmm.
and it would be holy and blameless,
okay.
to him.
So, it says that one of the verses I have often listened referred to is, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. What does that mean?
Jesus was slain.
Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus was slain. What is that saying?
That he was the rock that it was.
Okay. Here's what it's saying is God knew, even before he created the earth, that he was going to create a being and that he was going to give him a free will. And he would have to die in their place to be a savior. So sin and man's failure, and of course, we aren't, a lot of people get confused and say, well, we're predestined. No, you aren't. Okay.
Otherwise.
He knew if Adam and Eve didn't sin, somebody would. So eventually, he would have to die for the sin of mankind. So he, before the foundation of the earth. Now here's what he says to us. I have chosen you even before the foundation of the earth. Let that sink in. I know one thing, that when I wasn't seeking God, he was seeking me. That's the only reason I'm sitting here tonight is because God sought me when I wasn't seeking him. And that's what he's saying to us. He said, listen, I sought you to be, or chose you from the foundations of the earth. And in my case, he chose me before I chose him. Can you imagine God saying, I want that one right over there? And that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, listen, I had chosen you, I knew you'd be created, and I wanted you. And so, do you feel like you're special?
I do now.
Well, the next verse actually goes a little further in helping us really grasp the point. What's that?
Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Okay. So, God chose us. Why is it talking about adoption? What's the difference between the baby you have, or let's say Amanda? What's the difference between Amanda and Julie in my family?
The bloodline.
Okay. Julie is my daughter, and God gave me Julie, but God didn't give me Amanda. What did we do?
Adopt.
We chose her. And here's what God's saying. I chose you from all the other people in the world. I have chosen you.
That's one thing that lately has been on my mind is I don't think we realize how small and narrow a thing that is, how tight a group that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think as many people as the scripture says it, that not everybody who claims him.
Who calls him Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I think as we begin to read this, it's important that we begin to realize that God knew who you were and what you would be and how you would do, and yet he chose you out of all the other people that he could have chosen. He chose us to be his children.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, through Jesus Christ. He chose us. Even though he knew what a mess we could be. What an amazing thing. I don't quite understand some people who struggle with being adopted. Because in order to be adopted, the people have to choose you from all the others. And if somebody loved you and chose you, that really makes you special. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I've never been adopted, so I don't know. But for me, the whole idea is, you know what? I didn't choose my daughter, but I can choose the kids that we adopt. And that's what God is saying he's done for us, is he said, I chose you.
I'm going to go a little deeper.
Yeah. I chose you.
Riley, we got teased at one point for being adopted. I told her, just tell them that your mom chose you. Their mom got stuck with you.
Well, I don't, I think if we really let it sink in, that God would choose all of us, and like me, like I said, 6 months it took before I finally yielded to God's drawing me and making me aware of what I needed and what I was lacking, when I finally said yes to him, but he had already chosen me. And that's great news, that he loved me even when I was not seeking him. So, he's trying to give us a picture of who we are in God's eyes. Go ahead.
To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved.
Okay, so what causes us to be accepted?
Grace.
His grace. What he has given us, what he's done for us, is the thing that make us accepted in him. Let's go ahead.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Ooh, we're back to grace again. What's grace? The God-given desire
to do his will.
Yes. So he's back to saying, hey man, by his redemption of his blood and forgiveness of sin, because he has unlimited grace. So that means tomorrow morning I can start the day off. He says his mercy and grace are new every morning. And so he's saying you can start tomorrow morning off with the desire and ability to do his will for today. And he will give you the ability, the thing that I like, is he will give us the ability to do his will. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is give him that place. I think a lot of us, if we really understand the grace of God, it would make our journey with him so much more enjoyable, because we would quit trying to do it in ourselves and say, God, I need your grace. I need you to give me the desire and ability to do your will. And he will. And Paul's really stressing it. He's used the word grace, what, 3 times already. Let's go on.
Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Okay. Which he made to be limited?
Abound.
What does that mean?
Abundance.
Abound means to have an abundance, yes, more than enough. He said, I want you to have more than enough in all wisdom and, by the way, understanding is another word for prudence. So he wants us to have all the wisdom and understanding we need. By the way, would you say God's pretty involved in our life?
I would.
As you read this tonight, you begin to realize, wow, he's the one that gives us desire and ability. He's the one that gives us the understanding and wisdom to do things. He is involved in our lives from so many angles. And if we would really rest and trust in him, we would quit wearing ourselves out trying to make it happen.
Amen.
Verse 9.
Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself.
Okay, so what is his will? Go on.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him.
So when the time is right is basically dispensation. When the time is right, that he will bring all things together to one of them things that are in Christ. So if we're in Christ, we're going to be one of those things, right? That he's going to gather together. Let's go ahead.
In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Woohoo! There we go. Predestined. What does the word predestined? It's used the second time. We're going to use a predestined. What does it mean?
That's where you're going.
Figure it out in advance.
That God determined in advance. By the way, are people predestined to go to hell? Are they? I got one person that said, mm-mm. Are anybody predestined? Probably the best definition of predestined comes from Romans chapter, Romans chapter all things work together for good. That's Romans chapter 8, right? Romans chapter 8 says 8:28.
I was going to say 8:28, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that was right. And we know all things work together for good to those which love God and them who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's a really great promise. That in the middle of our worst day, we can say, God, I don't know how you're going to turn this around, but you're going to work this for my good, and I trust you because that's what you said. However, here's the next part. For whom he did foreknow, in other words, he knew ahead of time.
Predestined.
He also did
comfort.
Predestined. We have the word predestined. What does it mean? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, those who he predestined, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? And basically, predestined means ahead of time, God determined that we would take on his likeness. And so ultimately, I believe Romans 8:28 is saying, listen, all these things are going to work to shape us and to form us into his likeness, because we were predestined to become like him. Okay? However, it's a process. But you don't see, when people start talking about predestined, that people are predestined to hell, not so. We are predestined to take on the likeness of Christ. And so, you know, have you ever had the enemy say to you, you're never going to get it? Listen, here's what he says. All these things are going to work together for our good, that we might take on his likeness. So when we talk about predestination, we're not talking about heaven and hell. It's beforehand, he determined that we were going to take on his likeness. That's his purpose and plan for us. All right, so that's what predestined means. All right, let's go on. What verse are you on now?
12? I think. According to the counsel of Israel.
Okay, everybody, 12, go ahead.
That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That we in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay. So, how did we become? He said, you put your trust in him, that our salvation would be of him. I like the fact that it says, what does it mean when it says, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? What does that mean?
Got an A.
Pardon?
Got an A.
I believe when it says sealed, it's saying you, it was determined by him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God's going to do that work in us. And I hope when we start thinking about the word grace and predestined, and that he's going to do that work and finish it, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, all you have to do is keep a hold of me, and I will accomplish what needs to be accomplished in you. And so we don't have to strive and work, because it's by his grace. In other words, he gives us the desire and ability to be what he intends us to be. And all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 14.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the peace of his glory?
What is the guarantee?
The inheritance.
Our inheritance.
The Holy Spirit of promise is what he's given us as a seal of saying, you're guaranteed to finish it. Okay? He's saying, though, it's a seal. And it says, the Holy Spirit of promise, he's gonna finish that good work which he's begun. How many of you are glad he's gonna finish it? I think this chapter here should put us at ease. That it's not by our striving, it's our willingness to trust him, it's our willingness to receive his grace, it's our willingness to be sealed by him. It's not by our effort that we, and he's driving that home from several different angles, saying, listen, you are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit until it happens. Let's go on.
Let's see. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Oh, wow. That's a whole lot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. He says, I make a prayer that through God, he would give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in him. Once again, we find he is giving us all that we need. Let's go on. By the way, not by your effort,
right,
by our receiving, our believing, his grace.
Amen.
By the way, that gives you a whole lot. And he's chosen you. He's chosen you. No, he's more than that. He has adopted you.
Amen.
That we are called his sons and daughters. We are his children with a seal of promise that he will finish that good work.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Woohoo! He's saying that you would understand the riches of his glory, which is inheritance, is what? It's something you get that you did nothing for. Okay? So he says, it's your inheritance just because you're mine. It's yours. You haven't done anything, inheritance. You don't do anything to deserve it. Okay? It's just yours because you're in the family or in the household of where the promise is. All right, let's go on.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
Okay. So, it all comes from us being in Christ Jesus. Okay?
Yep.
Right? And he is up in the heavenly places. What's he doing? What's he doing right now?
What do you call it?
Making intercession
for us. Yeah.
For us. In other words, he's praying for you and I. Boy, he has his hands full with some of us, huh?
Yep.
Never a dull moment.
All right, what verse are we on?
If he has a good laugh every once in a while. let's see, aren't you over in Christ Jesus?
17.
Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heaven, but far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come.
There we go. So, once again, he's above every principality, every power. In other words, he has power over all of the principalities and powers of darkness that we are come into touch with. So by his grace, which is what? His given desire and ability to do his will. So it's ours just for the receiving. You get the idea that he's trying to say, you don't do it by your hard work. It's by me, by being in me, by going through me, by trusting in me, that all of this is yours and it's available through me. Because you have his name, because he adopted you. And so we get the ability to use his name, and behind it goes all, comes all of his authority and all of his ability that he has done. Let's go on.
And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of whom, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
All right. So, he has put us in his body, in the church, all right, to be a part of the body of Christ. Anybody see anything in there that really encourages you?
I think it's the whole chapter.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's, the whole thing is all encouragement.
Well, it's amazing when you begin to realize God's focus is on us, his power is for us, his grace is with us, he adopted us, he chose us, and all of that, not because of something we've done, but because he chooses to love us and want us and accept us. Amazing. And to be exact, the more we strive, probably the less we can accomplish, because we're trying to do it in our strength. And so Ephesians is one of those books that I say is meant to help us to focus on who we are in Christ and all those wonderful things that are available to us just because we're his.
Amen.
What a promise.
I have it marked in here, starting with verse 15 down through the second verse, used for warfare.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once again, these things are true because he says, I give you my peace. I give you, and all those things are used to do spiritual warfare. So, yes. And we can, what we do is we do warfare by using the truth against the lie that the enemy is trying to get you to believe. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2.
Can we ask one
read? Yeah, chapter 2.
And you can help me when you need to. I'll try. Chapter 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Ooh. So what's our position? He has given us his life. Okay, because we were dead and trespassing in sin, we couldn't help ourselves, we couldn't fix ourselves, but we become alive in him. Let's go on.
In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works and the son of disobedience.
Oh, so who are they?
The ones that work in disobedience?
Those who are not serving God.
Not serving God, yeah.
Yes. And he says, so you used to walk according to the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like the children of obedience. Verse 3.
Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others.
Okay, so at one point, right, we were just like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Okay? And when it says children of wrath, that means we deserve eternal damnation and separation from God. Okay? And he also uses a word. Did you read chapter 4 yet?
Verse 4, not yet.
No, okay. Verse 4. That's 4.
verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Okay.
And raised us.
We're back to that word again.
Mm-hmm. Grace.
How are we saved?
Grace.
By his desire and his ability, not ours, mm-hmm. right? So we are saved by grace, okay? And we have been raised with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead.
And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so what's that saying? We have access to all heaven has to offer because of who we are
mm-hmm.
in him. And Jesus sits there on our behalf. So basically, in his view, we're in him, so we're in heavenly places with him. And because we're in him. Let's go on.
Verse 6.
Seven.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
Ooh, what's he saying? Once again, he's saying, hey.
Grace is coming back up every time.
Yeah, he keeps saying, yeah. The riches, in other words, you'll begin to understand how amazing grace is
mm-hmm.
because you're going to begin to experience that God-given goodness just because he's chosen us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's go on.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Okay. So what is grace? For by grace are you saved. Okay? Grace is a God-given desire. So you, because of a God-given desire, you are saved by having faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're saved, of putting our faith in him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not of what?
Works.
Not of works.
So?
Through ourselves.
So, grace you don't earn.
It's given.
It's simply a gift. In other words, we have done nothing to be saved except for put our faith in him, and his grace does the work.
Wow.
By the way, you understand why this is a really important one, because it gets us from putting our trust in ourselves to putting our trust in
mm-hmm.
him. So Ephesians is really important in our understanding,
mm-hmm.
so that we trust in him. Let's go on.
Okay.
So it says, not of works.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we say not of works?
Right.
Not of works.
Yeah.
Of
works.
But what?
So nobody can
but
boast.
So nobody's can brag, because it's not something that you've done that's got you, that caused you to be saved. The only thing you did was you trusted in him.
Yes,
that's it. That's all you did, was put your trust in him. Let's go on.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Okay, so he has a plan for our life. Okay, then once again, that he did it before he ever chose us. When he chose us, he had a plan, and we are his workmanship, okay? So it's important we realize once again that he is going to want us to walk in his plan for our life. Let's go on.
Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
So what's he doing? Once again, he's just saying, hey, it's not by something you've done. It's not through it. Listen, the only reason you have this favor is because God chose you and you trusted.
Amen.
So the greatest work we have to do is simply believe.
Amen.
And the rest, God will do as we continue to trust in him and his grace, that he's going to give us his desire and ability to do his will.
Yeah, the word for the day is grace out there.
Grace, yeah, grace. By the way, he also used the word mercy. What's mercy?
Sorry.
What is mercy?
As he could kill you and send you to hell, but he don't.
Undeserved grace.
Okay. Mercy is something that's undeserved too. Okay? So, when you begin to realize his mercy and grace are new every morning, he's saying, listen, I will give you the desire and ability and the goodness of my mercy every day to start your day out.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if you were to go back and read this for every day for the next week in your study and meditate on it, I think what happens all of a sudden, he gives us strength to realize all I have to do is trust in him.
Amen.
And all my worrying and all my efforts and all my trying and all that is vain. Mm-hmm. I just need to put my trust in his grace and mercy, and he will help to accomplish all that he has planned for me, because he has a good plan for us.
Amen.
So if you're one that's struggling with trying to make it happen, I think we all are at times, from time to time. It's really important that we really let this grab a hold of our heart and say, you know what? I have nothing to brag about, because it's just God's mercy and grace. And I don't have to strive, because he will help me and he will do it in me and through me if I will let him.
Amen.
And amazingly, I don't understand it, but he chose me out of all the people. He chose me. I didn't actually choose him. I had to say yes to him, but he chose me.
Amen.
What a marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. All right. Somebody want to close with prayer?
Lord, Father God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you all the honor. And we thank you for allowing us to come together tonight and discuss your word. We thank you for being in the midst. We thank you for being at the head of it all.
Amen. Yeah.
We thank you for the families that are here now and everybody that's here. And we ask that you bless the ones that wanted to come and couldn't make it. And we just ask that you give us safe travels back home and protect us as we drive.
Yeah.
And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.